As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
8:43, 17 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL, Monday morning after Easter, and we're joined now by Father Bruce Morrell, a Jesuit priest, professor of theology at Vanderbilt. Good morning, Father. How are you?
Well, good morning, Tommy. Fine, thank you. Hope you're doing well, too.
I am. Thanks for taking the time. I just happened to be at home yesterday working out, and I put the TV on and happened to just circumstance catch Pope Francis issuing the blessing to Rome. I forgot exactly how you say it, and I texted, took a picture of him, a screenshot, and texted it to somebody and mentioned that he did not look well at
right.
all. And then when he took the ride around the St. Peter's Square, a lot of people are saying that maybe that was his goodbye. What is the feeling among your peers right now at the passing of this Pope, Father?
Well, if I may even add to your personal story, right, it's Urbi et Orbi. The address is to the city and to the world. He was the Bishop of Rome and then for the church and the world. But I had the same reaction yesterday, how weak his voice was, and also the 14-second clip of the very brief reception of J.D. Vance. He almost seemed, he just seemed very weak, yeah. But yes, the reaction, certainly among my fellow Jesuits, and but more importantly, as we're members of the Roman Catholic Church and serve it, it's of genuine sadness, but also great gratitude. For a remarkable man who gave us, I think, quite unique papacy, and wants that vision to be carried on.
When it comes to the changes that Pope Francis made, I don't know, or were there any changes, Father? Did he just kind of say some things that were more welcoming to people? Because I guess the question is, did anything substantially change in the Catholic Church despite the Pope's comments?
Right. And that is an apt assessment. He did not change anything that had to do with official church teaching, let alone the most important dogmatic teaching. But changes, this may not be very inspiring religiously, but extremely important. He was elected, among other things, to reform the Vatican bureaucracy. It's called, which includes the Roman Curia, which means the court. So the church also, the Vatican is a nation state, but also the church is an international organization. One of the things that really defeated Pope Benedict and added to his decision to resign all those years ago was a final report that he'd ordered on the financial corruption in the Vatican bureaucracy, and he said he just didn't have the strength to oversee that. This Pope has, and he's faced, he faced some real hard headwinds. But that's one key thing. Now, I know your question was more about doctrine and practice, and it is an apt description that his work was much more pastoral and a concern for real individuals and groups. But for people who were hoping for example, opening up a married priesthood and parish priests, things like that, women deacons, et cetera, no, he never really changed, even despite people expecting so, any of these structural religious forms.
When it comes to Catholic teaching, Father, I'm just curious. You know, I'm seeing something on Twitter here, somebody talking about Bishop Athanasius.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Schneider, who says people are invading Europe, invaders who want to Islamize Europe, they want to destroy historical culture in Europe, and they're saying that it was Radio Genoa, so whoever that is, saying we need this guy to be Pope, and I don't mean that disrespectfully at all, but what drives what in terms of the church? Is it and the election of a new Pope? Is it the Curia and the direction they want the church to go in? Is it divine providence? Take me through that whole process, if you would.
Yeah, well, you know, we who are believers of the faith and the church certainly want to, we do believe that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is a guiding empowering force in these processes. But there's also our belief that God or divine grace, the Spirit, works with and through human nature. And so it's a mixed bag how these things play out. And with regard to a next pope, one of the key things that matters is the College of Cardinals who do the electing. And there are certain archbishops or bishops that have been elevated to this status. 80% of the current College of Cardinals who are of electing age, under 80 years old, 80% were appointed by this, by Pope Francis. And so, on the one hand, people would say, well, this is, you know, he's tried his best, if you will, to stack the deck, but there's no predicting exactly how this will go. Secondly, whereas the College of Cardinals, even only at the time John Paul was elected, although I'm showing my age, over 40 years ago, it seems yesterday, that, you know, largely the College of Cardinals were European and Italian. This pope has now made over 50% of these electors from what we would call the global south. And so it will be interesting. I think it'll, yeah, we shouldn't prejudge too quickly how this, who and how and what will come of it. But they will have to consider what they want to see in terms of continued or not continued practices, policies, and tone that our late Pope Francis did. Now, they'll each be talking to each other once they all get to Rome. And ultimately, the conclave, as it's called, the electing process, is a closed-door affair. But there'll be a lot of murmuratio. The term is quiet discussions.
Let me take a break, Father. When we come back, I'm going to talk about the job of being Pope himself, because you got to be the CEO. It's a large corporation and going to the Vatican's financial troubles, as you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
You also have to be a spiritual leader. I don't know how you balance both of those. We'll talk to you when we come back. I also want to talk about the differences when it comes to Jesuits. Pope Francis was the only Jesuit pope. Is that correct?
You're quite correct.
All right, we'll talk about that when we come back. 8:51, 9 till 9, talking to Father Joe Morrell, who is nice enough to join us. Father Bruce Morrell, I beg your pardon, a Jesuit priest, professor of theology at Vanderbilt. 8:51, 9 till 9, traffic now, WWL. 8:56 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL. If you're just joining us, Pope Francis passed away overnight. Father Bruce Morrell is our guest, a Jesuit priest, professor of theology at Vanderbilt. Father, when it comes to the job of being Pope, you know, a long time ago, movie Shoes of the Fisherman, it's based on a novel, I presume you've seen it. It was made in the 60s, set in the 80s, about a priest that puts up all of the church's assets to help prevent a war with China and Russia. That seems like a long, long time ago, and it was. But the Pope is in a tough spot because he's got to do what Jesus would want him to do, but he's also got to, I guess, manage a huge corporation. Take me through that.
Yes, manage a huge corporation. And as I mentioned, even a geographically tiny but not insignificant nation state, the Vatican. But yeah, he's got a curia, a court, which shows you that the roots of this from the Renaissance era. And this is to operate offices. Among the most important would be the office for the doctrine of the faith. Another one is for evangelization or outreach. Another is has everything to do with care for and almsgiving and support for the poor, et cetera. So these are huge operations. And then funding raised from especially the more financially strong parts of Catholicism on the globe to then support the poorer sections and the missionary work. So it's a huge bureaucracy, has its own bank, it has the whole bit as a nation state. So on the one hand, it's basically being a head of state and a corporation, as you put it, a worldwide one. And on the other hand, you know, governing and leading a religious body and in its belief, and it's just as important, its actual practices.
Well, yeah. How autonomous is the office of Pope? How much leeway does he have as it relates to the Curia, et cetera?
Well, quite a bit in terms of it is, in a sense, we could call it a monarchy. That they're the court, the curia around him, and the orders that he gives are direct and absolute. I'm speaking now in terms of the governance, okay, of, if you will, the nation state or the corporation. He places people in positions. There is a court system to investigate, which has happened during his time. People that were put on trial, certain cleric officials for malfeasance. Lay people as well. But I think in answer to your question, I'm trying to not be too loquacious. The key thing is it's that kind of a government system where he singularly calls the shot.
Father, I hope you can come back. Thank you.